Well, today we have a privilege of having with us a good friend and his wife. Well, she's a good friend too. Jacob and Jaya Bira. I want to read a scripture about Jacob, what I think really speaks of him in my mind. And it says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, many a man proclaims his own loyalty and goodness, but who can find a faithful and trustworthy man? And Jacob's a faithful man. Jacob and Jaya have been faithful to the Lord. I think you started your ministry, was it 1978? 79. So like, what's 47 years, something like that? 40, 48? I don't, what is it? 79, 89, 99, 09, 19. So 45 years. God, he came here really to the United States with nothing. And began to pray and seek the Lord and God's direction. And he led him back to India, his home country, where he started children's homes and raising up evangelists. I don't know. Now it's into maybe the second and third generation of families. And that's really an amazing thing. And you've been faithful to the Lord. Your testimony has always been strong. I've never seen you as an angry man. Maybe your wife has, but at least outwardly, you have a lot of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and Jaya does as well. And I count it a privilege to know you, and it's an honor for you to be here with us today and share some more of your ministry and what's going on in your life. So why don't we welcome Jacob and Jaya, and he's going to come and share the word with us today. I always tell this story when Jacob comes, and maybe I'll say it again for those who don't know it. Some of you don't know
it. Not good.
When I first met Jacob, he came in down to the church. He came and knocked on my office door, and he asked me if I wanted to buy some drugs. And I said, what? And he said, you want to buy some drugs? And I finally realized he had a heavy accent. He was wanting to sell a rug, but not drugs. He's a good man. God bless you.
Thank you. I think he liked that story. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So nice to see you all. Thank you, Pastor Kurt, for the good things you said. And I have some pictures to show you. They go automatically. And if you blink your eyes, you miss a picture. So keep an eye on them. And afterwards, I'm going to share what God is doing in India in our lives. Okay? Yeah. Slides, please. This is the VBS our daughter conducted last year. There were about 200 children. Third one on from the left, our daughter, Stacy. The children were so happy to be there, and they were rejoiced and happy to be there. This is our church there at our headquarters. There are the slides going slower than what I put. This is the group. This is how we cook when we feed a large number of people. And that's the kind of vegetable soup. And we fed all the children breakfast and lunch every day for 3 days. That came to VBS. We have been conducting this gospel meeting since 82, and God is touching so many people there. These are our pastors, some of the pastors in the tribal areas. They are singing in a crusade. This is something a little bit like yours. Our daughter is in the gold. These are the church members that are singing. I don't know who this is, but in like a few days, we held these meetings, and there were about 1,000 people showed up, and some walked through the jungles. This is in a jungle area. And these people are so happy to be there to hear the gospel. This is at another area. We cook and feed these people two meals a day when they come to our crusades. That's how it moves. These are some of our evangelists and choir. We baptize them in the streams and canals like this, and people watch. We had 7 children homes before COVID. After COVID, we had to close 3 of them, and now we have 4. We bought blankets for the children. This is in the tribal area. This is one of our children's homes now. This is another one in a big city. And they are so happy to be in the home and get food and education. This is another children's home. 70 children live in this home now. They attend our school. There's chicken curry and rice. This is our Christian school. There was about 500 children before COVID, and after COVID now it's about 350. And they're coming back. These are the classrooms, high school. This is our church at Mori, our headquarters. And 90% of these were once Hindus. They were the ones that gave us a hard time before. We are drilling bore wells in the remote jungle areas and where there is no clean water for the people. And they get sick because of the drinking of polluted water. So they are so happy to have these bore wells and clean water to drink. They carry on their heads like that. I'm praying for a patient, heart patient there. They're very great. They get this kind of water, dirty water. That's the same water they cook, they clean, and they drink. And carrying water is almost a day. Every day they do that from the water holes like that. They carry. Sometimes 1 mile, 2 miles, they carry water. Yeah. Aren't we glad that we don't have to carry like that? I'm praying for a girl that was sick. We went to visit a family, and all of a sudden it rained, and there was a state called Manipur. They have been persecuted because they are Christians. We are taking supplies to them. That's about 4 hours by flight to get there. We bought blankets, rice, and all supplies they need, and we went to their camps. They are hiding in the jungles now because of the killings that are taking place. There is a group called Mighties. They are Hindus. They are killing Christians. These are the tribe that Joseph's son Manasseh in the Bible. These are the descendants of Manasseh. We bought blankets and sheets, and this is one of our pastors praying with the tribal believers in the jungle area. These are some of our evangelists that we support, and they go out and preach the gospel. Every day, pastors meet and pray, and they are in the remote jungle areas visiting these villages and sharing the gospel. And these are the ones that need to hear the gospel, because these tribal people don't have cell phones, TVs, or anything like that. Sometimes they can't even use the bikes. They have to walk through the jungles. But we provide them the bicycles they use for other areas, drums and lanterns. We bought some commentaries for all of our pastors, and they are so helpful to these them. Here they are going from house to house in the villages, singing and praising God while they're walking, and share with them and distribute tracts. And those are the kind of houses they live. Praying with them. Going up the hill to conduct a meeting there. These people never heard the gospel until we went to these villages, distributing tracts. And new churches are being built where we drill the bore wells. These are the two churches under construction, not finished completely. We are building a clinic. When we go March 10th, we are going to start the work. We cleaned this place and brought the filling, clean field dirt and leveled it. And this is a rendering. A friend did that here, architect. It's kind of a little too big, but I don't know what God is going to do that. Husband carrying wife to a hospital. He probably carried several miles through the jungle. That's how they carry the children. And this is a house. She's happy. These girls were, the one on the left was raised in our home since she was in first grade, and she's going to nursing school now. That both of them, we are supporting them. there in school for 3 years and one more year. These young men were raised in our children's home, and they are doing well now, and most of them, they are all Christians now. This is the deaf and mute children, and they're disowned by the families, and we bought Bibles, about 300 Bibles to distribute to the people. This is in the jungle area we are giving to them. Where we drill bore wells, we give it to the whole village, the Bibles. Our son and daughter. This is our daughter Stacy, and she's in a medical school. Our son Jesse, he was in a youth group speaking. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Prayer changes things. God answers our prayers. He's an awesome God. He's a living God we are serving. And as you know, we have two children, one son and a daughter. Our son finished his bachelor's, and he's now in a master's business administration he's studying. And our daughter is... our son is 24, and our daughter is 22, and she's in a medical school. She wants to be a doctor, and she's in Philippines. I want to share a little bit about her, what happened in her life. When she was in a high school, she liked science so much. She wanted to be a science teacher. And every time we turn around, she said, "I want to be a science teacher." And they came here a few years ago, and we visited a friend in Florida. And she is a strong Christian. She is an Indian. She was called at 7 or 8 years old, and God used her in a mighty way in India. And now she is here, and she is in her 70s. And we went to visit her, and we had a dinner with her. And after dinner, she said, "Jesse, what would you like to be when you grown up?" He said, "I want to be a pastor, and I want to do what my dad is doing." And she said, "That's good." And she said, "What about you, Stacy?" And she said, "I want to be a science teacher." And she said, "No, no, no. You are going to be a doctor." And Stacy said, "No, no, no, I can't never be a doctor. I'm scared of blood." And she said, "No, you are going to be a doctor." And she didn't know what to say, and we didn't know what to say. And when we left that place, we were talking about it. And Stacy said, "I don't know why she said that. I want to be a science teacher." I said, "Science teacher is a good thing for you, because I can't afford to send you to medical school. So you can be a science teacher." And by the time we went back to India, her mind was completely changed. And she started saying, "Daddy, I want to be a doctor." I said, "You want to be a science teacher?" "I don't know why. I want to be a doctor now." And she wants to be a cardiologist. And I said, "I can't afford to send you, but you pray about it, and if God provides, you can go to a medical school. And we pray also, and if God provides you, and then we can send you to medical school." And we were leaving India, and she said, "Daddy, we have only 3 weeks to finish the application and all that. Could you please tell me quickly what to do?" And I said, "I go back And you pray and we pray, and if God provides, I will call you and you can go to medical school. I came back and we started praying, and we went to speak in a church, and we shared a little bit about our children. And after the church was over, a family came and asked me, would you like to come and visit us for a few minutes? I said, sure. We went there and we talked, and then we were leaving, and she came behind us and said, Jacob, stop. And when we stopped and went back to her, and then she said, I want to tell you something. When you were sharing about your children, my myself and my husband, we were sending texts to each other what God was speaking to us. And she said, I believe that God wants us to help your daughter to become a doctor. And I said, that sounds really good, but I can't provide you a tax receipt for your donations. She said, don't worry about that. We don't need it. And she said, let me know how much it would cost, and I will help you, help Stacy. And we found out the price, and I told her, and she said, she can go to the medical school now. I will provide the funds. Praise the Lord. God answered our prayers. And she is very active in the Philippines. She goes to two churches every Sunday. She sings in the choir. And she started a youth group for our co-students and that Sunday evening. And Saturday night, she goes to another prayer group. And she is very busy in the class. And she is also busy in the weekend. And she is in second year, finishing now. And she said recently, it's getting really busy, and I don't even have time to call you. When I don't call you, know that I'm very busy. And yesterday she sent me a photo while she's walking from the college, and she slipped, and she hurt her ankle, and she had a Band-Aid on it and all that. But she said, I'm okay. God protected me. A little bit pain, but I'm doing well. And so keep her in your prayers. And she conducted VBS when she came to visit last year. And the kids heard that Stacy back home. And they came to her and asked her, we like the VBS that you conducted previous year. We'd like to have it again, and we'd like to come. Could you please organize one? And she immediately called her friends and gathered the information and got everything ready in few days. And 200 children showed up. And they are so happy to be in that VBS, singing and praising and dancing. And they rejoiced there. And we are very glad for that, because train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So that's the things that take place in India. We have a Sunday school for the children from the Hindu families. Come and learn the songs and learn the verses from the Bible. And they go home and tell their parents. And because of that, and our evangelists, a lot of Hindus are becoming Christians. Today, the Hindus are so scared that people are exiting from Hinduism to Christianity. And there are so many people in the world is coming to know the Lord, especially Muslim countries and Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, those countries, every day hundreds of people turning to Christ. They're seeking God, praying to God. God, whoever you are, please talk to us. And Jesus is appearing to them and telling them, I am the true God. There are so many Hindus also in India coming to Christianity. Hindus, high caste Hindus, Brahmins, they are turning to Christ. They are seeking God. Whoever you are, please speak to us. And Jesus is appearing to them and talking to these people. And they become Christian. There is no turning back. And families are kicking them out from their families. And some of them are beaten. And Christianity is going through so many problems these days. And so please pray for them. And 2 years ago, when I was in India, I went to the jungles. We traveled 7 hours. And by the time we went to that place, there's a heavy rain. There's a river bed, a dry river bed there. We thought we can drive there and go to other side. But before we went there, there was a heavy rain and it was flooding heavy, lot of water. And we couldn't travel. And so they came to that other side. Some of them, these tribal people, crossed and wanted us to come to that other place to dedicate a borewell we drilled. And then we looked at the water and said, how can we go? And some of them said, we will carry you. And some said, no, it's very dangerous. And finally we decided not to go. And we turned around and went back 7 hours back again home and told them, you go ahead and dedicate this well and let the people drink the water. And in that same place, I met a man. He was beaten and killed and thrown into a bush by Hindu extremist groups. And they dragged him all day through the streets, beating him and dragging him through the streets. And by the evening, he died. And they throw him in the bushes. And later on, a man was walking that way and saw the body. And he ran to the village next to that and said, I saw a body there in the woods. And see if you are anybody missing. Go and see if you can identify that man. And they went there and they found out that man was their pastor. And they carried him to the church, prayed for several hours, and God brought him back to life. Praise the Lord. And he's alive today and going around in the streets and preaching. One day he was sharing the gospel. A group of men came and he had doubts about them. And they said, we are here to talk to you for a few minutes. He said, for what? And we were the ones, one of them, that killed you and threw in the bushes. We realized that we were wrong and we came to apologize to you. Can you please forgive us? And he said, I will forgive you. And they said, are we allowed to come to your church? He said, you're welcome to come to our church anytime. And they started coming to church. Now they became Christians. Praise the Lord. They are starting to share the gospel also to the people that live around them. And borewells bringing people to Christ. They drink polluted water and getting sick with typhoid and malaria fevers. A lot of people are dying from that. And they had to walk 2-3 miles to get a pot of water. And it is a daily duty for them, women, go back and forth carrying water. And whenever evangelists go to these villages to share the gospel, they see their needs. And they tell us, these people don't have any water and drinking polluted water and a lot of them are getting sick. Could you please help them drill a borewell there? So we send the funds and you provided that those funds, and we sent them, and they drilled the bore wells. And when they drilled the bore well, they asked them a question. You don't even know us. Why in the world you come this far and help us drill a bore well here? Then they tell them, we know the true God that loves us, and so we love you too. And that's why we are here, to provide you clean water and meet your needs. And they ask more questions. Who is this true God? And they tell them the salvation message. And then they keep asking them, can you come to our house? Can you come to our place to preach the gospel, share the gospel? And they're going back and forth to these villages and sharing the gospel. A lot of them are becoming Christians. Because they are becoming Christians, the people that are not become Christians in the neighboring villages, they harass them. In one village, they built a church. And the neighbors didn't like that church. And at night, they came and got up on the roof, corrugated sheet metal roof. They took their axes and cut holes through the entire roof. And these villagers knew who did that, but they didn't want to say anything to them, and they started praying for them. Now they came and asked us, you built a drill well, bore well for them, and could you please drill one for us? And we drilled a bore well for them, and now they are our evangelists going to that village and sharing the gospel also. And just recently, a week ago, one of our pastors sent a picture of an evangelist who was shot dead in front of her family. They warned him 2 times, don't preach the gospel, don't tell about Jesus, don't carry your Bible. And he said, God wanted us to share this good news to everybody, so I have to tell them. And the 3rd time they came, they went into his house and brought him out. While his wife and 4 children, small children watching, they shot and killed him. And just a few days ago, another story came. 2 women who accepted Jesus. And the Hindus came and said, we want you to deny Jesus. Don't pray to him. You have your own gods. Don't go to church. And they didn't listen to them. And we came again, and they're still praying. And then they brought a rope and wrapped around, and 2 people on both sides held the rope and started saying, are you going to deny Jesus now? They said, no. They were tightening a little bit. Are you? No. Tightening more. And like that, they pulled outside, tight. They both died right there. And this is what's happening. The Hindu extremists are scared of losing their people to Christianity. So in order to stop them, they want to persecute them. Wherever there is a persecution, there's more people becoming Christians. Praise the Lord. Churches are growing everywhere. And we saw these people in the tribal village carrying their sick in a sling or carrying on their shoulders to the hospital. Sometimes they have to carry 5-10 miles through the jungles and come to a main road and wait there for a bus. Some of them die while they were bringing, and some of them are dying on the roadside waiting for a bus. So God put a burden on my heart to help these people. And when I was young, a pastor came to our house, an evangelist came to our house, and he started sharing the gospel, and he said, Jacob, God has a plan for your life. He's going to use you And one of the things I see, you are going to build a hospital. I said, hospital? I can't even go to a hospital now. How can I do that? And that was 50 years ago. And 20 years ago, we bought a piece of land to build a hospital. And I never went to that land because there are a lot of cobras and wild animals in that place. So we never even saw until 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, I went there and I said, let's clean up this place. And we had to build a clinic. I didn't even know how to build that. And they said, clinic? Yes. And we cleaned up. And last year, the government changed the rules. Outsiders from the jungle areas are not allowed to own the land in the jungle area. Even if we buy the land, it's not going to be registered to us. And last year, they changed their rules. They said, outsider can buy land and it can be registered to you. So we immediately registered the land to the ministry. And this time I came back, I put a story in the newsletter. And one day, I received a letter and a check. I looked at it and I thought, there's too many zeros in it. And it was $50,000 somebody sent. I wasn't sure it's $50,000 or they were $5,000 they wanted to do. And I called them and said, I call you to thank you for your check, but I want to make sure, is it $50,000 or $5,000? They said the 50,000. God spoke to us to send this money to you to help build that clinic. And two Saturdays ago, and we had an Indian dinner, fundraising dinner. And there were about 125 people attended. And while the dinner was going on, this pastor of the church updating the people, we have 10,000 came, and a few minutes later he comes and we have 15,000. And then he said, come up here. And I went up to the stage and he said, now we have 20,000 that people gave. And, wait a minute, I have another check. He took out a check and he said, read this. I said, too many zeros here. It was $100,000. We have about 200,000 now. We need 400,000 to build that clinic. And we are planning to take doctors from here, doctors from India, and conduct clinics, eye clinic and different clinics, women's clinic. And in the future, we are after finishing this building that we're going to start, we're going to have a couple of doctors and a couple of nurses, and they are going to treat the people there. And when they come, and we will have the pastors and evangelists that work there, they can talk to them and share the good news. And we are expecting God to do great things there. And please pray for that. And our evangelists are very actively involved in spreading the gospel. And many of them are telling me stories that you probably don't even want to hear. And so please pray for them. And in a state called Manipur, the Christians, they are called Kuki tribe, Kukis. And the other tribe is called Maitis. They are Hindus. Hindus are the political party leaders and all that. This Kuki tribe is like a Christians and live in the jungles and all that. So the Hindus wanted to stop this Christianity in that area. and they wanted to deny Jesus. But they said, no, we don't deny. We love Jesus and he is the true God. And recently, they started killing them. They killed hundreds of them. And while they were walking in the streets, they grabbed them and dragged them in the streets and doing all kinds of stuff and pick up big stones and hitting them and killing them. So we went there to help these people. When we saw them, they were so happy. They left their homes. Many of their homes were burned down and torn down. They left those places and hiding in the jungles. And we went into the jungles and distributed the supplies to them. And these are the tribe of Manasseh, Joseph's son Manasseh's descendants. And we met a pastor. He said, I am one of them. I am one of the descendants of Joseph's son. And they are so brave and so courageously fighting back with them. Please pray for them. I want you to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And here, Jesus and his disciples went to the temple and visited the temple, and they were leaving from the temple. And the disciples told Jesus, Jesus, look at this temple, how beautiful and how big this is. And Jesus said, you're looking at this temple, not one stone is going to stand on another one, and it's going to be demolished. They said, this beautiful building, this big building is going to be thrown down? He said, yes. And they went to Mount of Olives. When they were sitting there, they were asking, when will this happen? And what is your signs of coming, the end of the age? And Jesus was telling them, verse 4, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. There is going to be false prophets and deceivers will come and deceive you. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. All these are going to take place. But see to it that it's not, the end is not yet. And he says in again, verse 7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. These are the birth pains. When you see all these things, those things has to happen. But this end is not yet. And in verse 14, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We all know we are in the last days. The world is going insane. There is wars and rumors and fightings, earthquakes, false prophets everywhere. There are a lot of false prophets rising up in India and deceiving many people. And it's happening all over the world. And here he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a witness to the nations. All tribes, all groups of people has to hear the gospel. Then shall the end come. So we are close to the end now. Since 1440, when they invented printing press, the Bible was printed. Until that time, the gospel was spreading in a snail pace, very slow, mouth to mouth, person to person. And after they invented a printing press, they started to reading the Bible and starting to share the gospel. And it sped up. And then the radio came, and it even picked up more speed. And TV came, and even faster. Now the internet and the cell phones came. Everybody has a gospel message, the Bible, in their pockets. And it's spreading faster than ever before. 100 years ago, they had to travel and use a bullhorn to share anything. In our villages, still today, a man take his bicycle and a drum and play the drum in the villages, and he announce if the city wants to people to let them know something, he goes out and tell the people in some areas. In the tribal areas, the same thing. And so we are spreading the gospel to these people. This gospel has to be spread all over the world. All the tribes, all the groups of people need to hear the gospel. Then shall the end come, Jesus said. There's some other things need to take place. Those things are falling into place now. All those things are going to happen pretty soon. The gospel is almost preached to the whole world. Only those who are in the remote jungles that never heard the gospel. And we have a burden for these people. And when these people, when our evangelists go to these villages, sometimes they are kicked out, thrown out from their villages and beaten for not to preach the gospel to those people. But they never take no for answer. And they go back and start sharing the gospel. And the pastors asked me just recently, we need megaphones. When we go into these remote jungles, we can reach more people with these megaphones. And so we are buying megaphones now. Jesse bought 15 megaphones now at this time. And he's going to take them to these tribal people pretty soon. And they are going to use them for spreading the gospel in those villages. And Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. God is so good. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus came to the disciples and said, you go into the all world and preach the gospel. Share the good news. They started spreading the gospel. All the world, he said. That's where it started with the disciples. And they started preaching the gospel. And now we are picking up that. And we are spreading the gospel to the ends of the world. The whole world is almost heard the gospel. Now the rest of the few things has to happen. The Antichrist has to come and set up unholy sacrifice in the temple. And those things needs to take place. And when this gospel is being spread to the whole world, and Jesus is going to come back soon. Jesus clearly gave them wars and rumors of wars. They are common. They are like birth pains, he said. The birth pains starts slow and then increases. The same way the persecution and these earthquakes and all these wars and rumors of wars, they are on the rise. We can see the birth pains when the time comes, give birth. And the same way Jesus said, but all these things you will see on the rise, but the gospel has to spread to the entire world. Every nation, every tribe, every group has to hear the gospel. And we are part of that, spreading the gospel now. There is so many people still need to hear, and they are only can hear the gospel through the evangelists go to these places. Sometimes they can't even walk, take bicycle to go to these villages. They have to walk through the woods. And sometimes they're attacked by wild animals. But they said, we have to go. Just like the two ladies with a rope on their neck, tightening. Are you going to denounce Jesus now? They said, no. How brave they were. And if a drop of blood of a saint falls on the ground, there's going to be hundreds, even thousands of people will rise in that area. So we thank you so much for your prayers and financial support for the ministry, your church. And some of you are sponsoring evangelists. Some of you are sponsoring children and providing finances to drill bore wells. We're not only providing a clean water for them, we are giving them a living water. Praise the Lord. And many, many people are coming to know Jesus. And even the persecution is continuous to these people. They said, the pastor said, you can kill me, I'll be with Jesus. And some leaders in Arab countries now becoming Christians. And so please pray that we'll be faithful to God's command, go into all the world and share the gospel to every creature, every person in the world. They need to hear the gospel so the end will come and we will be with Jesus forever. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Kurt, for the opportunity. And
thank you, Jacob. All. Thank you. You can all stand with me. Just like to comment on a couple things. What I got out of your message today is God is a living God, and He hears our prayer. Yeah. It reminds me of a scripture. I love the Lord because He hears my voice. In my prayer for mercy, because He bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. The other thing that really spoke to me today was God's timing. You know, He spoke to you 50 years ago about this clinic, and you might think it's almost like Abraham when God promised him He was going to have a son. It's like, when's this going to happen? But God has His timing, and He always provides what His calling is. He always will. That was a faith builder. The other thing I learned today, which I never knew before, but if I ever go to India, I want to join the cookie tribe. And I also agree with you that it is the gospel that is going out into all the world. I've read that now today the Iranian and the Afghanistan churches are the fastest growing churches in the world. God is reaching some of these people that would have been really hardcore against Christianity. And the eyes are being opened by Jesus. Amen. It's awesome. Amen. So let's pray for our brother. Come over here. Let me pray for you.
I just heard one thing. Prince of Kuwait. They were interviewing him last week. And he became a Christian. And he said, I know I will be killed, but I know that I will be with Jesus immediately.
Amen. If you guys want to gather around here and pray. The other thing I got from your message, which I forgot to mention, is, you know, persecution, it comes. It's part of the story. I mean, Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. But when persecution comes, the power of God is there to see the church spread and explode. So it's nothing to be fearful of. It's just a reality we have to take into consideration. So, amen. Father, thank you for Jacob and Jaya, for Jesse, for Stacy, for their family that have been so faithful to you for so many years, Lord. We see the good fruit of their ministry through the lives of the children, the schools, the Bible schools, the evangelists, all the work that's being done there. We just pray you continue to give them strength and guidance, providing always the things that you are calling them to do. We pray for physical health for them as well, Lord Jesus, and safety as they travel back and forth. We love them. We thank you so much for their relationship. We pray for God's blessing upon them in many years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.